for you is to be your wounds.
My love for you is to be your wounds.
Do what you want me
to do. What you want me to do.
You love me first, and that's why I love you.
You love me first, and that's why I love you.
I found where I belong.
I found where I belong.
You are holy.
You are holy.
Yeah.
by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, and even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. You may be seated. That scripture was taken from Hebrews, reading from the 17th to the 19th verse, and then from the 32nd to the 40th verse, Hebrews 11. I believe that we are having a revival. Amen. Revival of spirits, and people that miss service don't know what they are missing. There is no way to record this. No, sir. You cannot record the presence of God. But even in the tapes and in the videos and in the streaming, the Mighty One who is in our midst visits also our brethren according to promise. That where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Yes, we cannot get all from our minds the daughter of Jephthah. I believe she will remain in our memory. And to think of how real the word of God is. That you can cry and it can pain the heart of a Bible character that lived thousands of years ago. And I was telling the brethren last night, why is that? Because we are believers. To skeptics and to unbelievers, it is just a story. And many times in their minds, it's a Nancy story. And seldom anybody cry because of a Nancy story, but because of the way that we believe the Bible and believe the Word of God. We get right into the story. Yes, and some young ladies today, you know, who was around me was, you know, telling me that the word of the Lord put them right on the scene. They feel that they were looking at the whole scene. Yes, and only the Holy Spirit. No movie can do that, no director, no a Hollywood film can do that, but it pleased the Lord by the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel to save some. And we believe the gospel. So it's true. It is so real to us. It is so true to us that it seems like it happened yesterday. Yes. But when you count the years, it's so many millenniums ago. You know, at least about 4,000 years probably that went by. And then the Holy Spirit can take that story and bring it right up to the present day. And then the reason that it means so much to us is because we are identified. In the same scriptures, in the same promises. Yes, in the Word of God, we are identified with the same God. I've fallen in love with that little girl. Yes, and I was asking them around me, doing the little work, and I asked one of them, I said, what would you do if you was Jephthah's daughter? He said, Brother Bruce, the same thing. Yes, I asked another. I said, what would you do, Susie, if you was Jephthah's daughter? He said, I'll do the same thing. Yes. And I believe that the word of the Lord produces a certain faith within our hearts, and we could not be hearing all what we are hearing without benefiting. I believe it builds our character. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So tonight I think that I, you know, want to go again on Christian courage, God's rugged school of training. God's rugged school of training. I like that word, rugged school of training, that the prophet used. And that's a mighty book, if you ever read it or listened to the tape, God Called Man. It's just a small little book. But that means a lot. The way how the prophet spoke of the revival and how he's going to train men, and how the Holy Spirit trained men in the rugged school of training that they are afraid of no opposition.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And I believe that we are coming to that place. Yes, and only God knows how to train cowards like us. We live in the coward age, and it is called the Laodicean Age, Revelation 3:14-22. It is the soft and the dirty age, where everybody fight for their rights. Laodicea means the people's rights. Yes, and I forgot to greet our brethren over there in India. Oh, waking up so early in the morning, the Lord surely will reward you. Some of them sleep over and they wait, and they wake up maybe 4 o'clock there, just sitting. Sometimes the power goes, and they are all disappointed. I'm trusting that all is working well tonight. So we have to say to you, good morning. Over there in India, and our precious brother in Indonesia, I understand that he was on, maybe his family, and we sure love you, my precious brother, and we don't have to tell GCC we love them. I guess they are our next door neighbor, and they know that. And our precious brother in St. Lucia, and those that are streaming in, sometimes people streaming that we don't know about. And I think we should wave to them again. Yes, and say, the Lord bless you. Amen. And we want to wave to those that would see the DVDs later who are not streaming. And let us do that. To our precious brethren, let them know we are identified with the message of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And we are identified with another outpouring of the Holy Spirit before the rapture takes place. Yes. He is faithful, that promise. Yes. And I marvel how God has called cowards like us. Yes, to such a great promise. It takes great courage to believe in another outpouring of the Holy Spirit in such a dark and dismal hour. Yes, it takes great courage to believe that the seven thunders is not revealed. When the whole world and the message world is saying it is revealed and bringing the interpretation of dogmas and creeds, yes, showing their impatience. They cannot wait for the genuine thunders to echo from the earth. Yes, but I believe that the Lord has given us patience, and he said, after we bear patience, he will fulfill the promise. He also said, in your patience possess ye your souls. And we was not always a brave people. By nature, many of us are cowards. We better admit that. By nature, many of us are cowards. And you don't know how coward you are until you are faced with an opposition, you know. And your two knees start buckling. And you start stammering. And you know, you shake all around and cannot move. Then you realize how coward you are in your nature. Now, this is the age that we are living in. Everybody, you know, in this age, suffer from all kinds of complexes. They suffer from fears. In this age, we have a lot to fear. And what fear we did not have, the devil created that fear. Because the Bible prophesied that there would be perilous times, fearful times, dangerous times upon the face of the earth. And many of you never feared bandits or kidnapping for many years. But notice how that fear come upon even Christians. Yes, I tell you, all kinds of imagination go through your mind of what you will do and how you will escape. And if that bandit come, what he will do. You see, that's the devil anointing the whole world with fear. But in the midst of all this fear, there would be the greatest heroes coming out of it. And the greatest heroes will be Christian heroes. So while the world is sinking down into fear, yes, sir, we are rising by the word of God with courage. And there is no way for you to train your own self to be courageous. You can't do that. But I will tell you a little secret. The Lord died to give us his courage. And he proved that in the early age and in the dark ages, he lent his courage unto his saints. That they were able to, you know, withstand death. Yes, and refuse to be set free, refuse deliverance for themselves and for their children, and face the fire, yes, face death and all kinds of horrible tortures. There was only one way that they could have done that, and that is another spirit had to come in them. And as coward in nature as many of us are, friends, the Lord is anointing us today with a lion's anointing. The lion is brave and bold, and the lion fears nothing. And that's the lion of the tribe of Judah, our Lord Jesus Christ, coming out of the seals. Yes, he is training his own, and he's anointing his own. But generally, Laodicea is a soft and a doughty age. Soft and doughty people. And in this age, there are a lot of people that will go to hell because of fear and unbelief. Now, in Revelation, I believe, the 21st chapter, it says, the fearful and the unbelieving shall not enter the kingdom of God. And we have seen that displayed since the days of Malachi 4, where men are fearful and unbelieving. And they claim to be Christians. They claim to be Pentecostals. They claim to have the great baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, but they are cowards. A bunch of denominational cowards. And because of that fearful and unbelieving spirit, they fail to accept the message that God sent today by Malachi 4, 5, and 6. They are fearful. They were fearful that the organization will throw them out. Fearful of what they will eat and what they will drink. Fearful of what, you know, where they will preach and who they will preach to. And because of that, many of them rejected the message of the hour. Yes, those stories are true, right to the message. Yes, the great showdown one time with the prophet and 350 ministers. And he defeated every one of them with the word of God. And he challenged them as no man ever challenged anybody. And then he said, if you cannot pick up my challenge, get off my back. Yes, a man of faith, a man of courage, a man of boldness, a man of bravery, Elijah the prophet. Yes. And then 75 of those fellows arose and say, we are going to be baptized in the morning. We are coming down for baptism. A bunch of cowards, not one show up. When they go home and count the cost, yes, sir, the boss in the bedroom say, you are not going to be baptized. And this age is so filled of fear that men fear their wives. They fear their children. They fear their bosses. Yeah. They fear the public. They are afraid of their neighbors. They are afraid of what the public will say. They are afraid to bear the reproach for the word of God. But thank God we have passed that stage. Yes, sir. They are afraid of losing their wives, losing their children. They rather compromise with the word of God. Yes, to keep the children in the house, they have a television there. Yes, they rather tolerate all kinds of nonsense that they look at. Yes, and listen to. They would allow them to listen to the wrong kind of music. When they take the world, now they run to the pastor, you know, to ask the pastor to redeem the daughter, redeem their son. But the pastor is not a magician. Now you ought to be doing your home lesson. Men ought to put a backbone in their back. Yes, to correct their children and put their children in place. To kick the television out of their house. Yes, kick the nasty music out of their house. But we have a bunch of compromisers. Bunch of compromisers will know that their young daughters are running around with unsaved men. Coming home late at night, knocking at the door. They would not seek help from the ministry. No, they rather swallow that. Turn a blind eye upon that. You are a dead hypocrite if you are sitting here tonight. You are a coward to believe the word of God and practice the word of God. And if you are a coward, God cannot use you. There is no outpouring for the fearful and the unbelieving. And because of this fear and because of unbelief, Laodicea rejected the message of the hour. Yes, those that were brave within the Pentecostal ranks, they came out of that system. Yes, and many of you are identified here. Came from Baptist, came from Pentecostal. Men know that this is truth, but afraid to come from the Hindu religion and from their Muslim religion. Yeah, they are afraid of losing their prestige, losing their friends, losing relatives, losing their family. Yes, but brothers and sisters, you have braved the weather. Yes, we don't care what the neighbors say, we don't care what the village say. We don't care what the boss say, we don't care who goes and who comes. We don't care that people mock us and scoff at us. The young ladies are not concerned about who say that you're looking like an old lady with a long dress, my brother. You are pretty in the sight of God. Yes. And God is looking down at you. When your church start getting that way, you are entering into heroism. Yes, you are entering into a place where God smiles. When you walk down through the cities with your long dress and your long hair flowing at the back without lipstick, I tell you, you're a beauty. And sometimes I bounce into you from a long distance. I say, there comes a sister. There comes a Christian. It changes the atmosphere. Yes, it's a rebuke to the public. It's a rebuke to all them naked women on the street. Yes, and any man that is a man will admire a woman in a dress. Yes, sir. Yes, a man that will insult a woman in a dress, there is nothing to him. Nothing. And many a man, sometimes they act the worst with these kinds of naked Hollywood women. And when they see a woman with dress many times, I see them just reverently. Reverently respect that. Good morning, Missu. Some of them ask me, what to say, Brother Bruce? I say, greet the person. Yes. Acknowledge the man. Good morning. How are you? Be a Christian. You don't have to puff your face up and move. That man is respecting your stand. And when they go, brothers and sisters, they will say, that's a Christian. I met a Christian. No lipstick, no high heel shoes, no powder. None of these things. I say, continue with your testimony in Sodom. There was a man one time that was a righteous man living in Sodom. Yes, and his name was Lot. Bible say he was righteous Lot. And his soul was vexed every day with the sins of Sodom. He was brave enough to stand up for the word of God in Sodom. And that is what the Lord is looking for. Warriors today, heroes that will stand up in the face of all this Sodomite condition. Act right and dress right and live right. But the fearful and the unbelieving shall not enter the kingdom of God. Yes, some people are afraid to believe for their salvation. And do you know that that's a great curse? In the Bible, he that believeth not is condemned already. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And that is why the Bible said, the fearful and the unbelieving shall not enter the kingdom of God. Friends, after you hear the word of God, you ought to believe the word of God for your salvation. And stop feeling around and wondering if you're a child of God. Wondering if you're going to receive the outpouring. Wondering if you are going to live in the new world. Yes, we are going to live in the new world. And we are going to live together. Yes, I want to be your neighbors. All under the sound of my voice, I want to be your neighbor. My God, we want to live in on a hilltop. Yes, I must be able to peek to my window over there and say, hello, brother. You remember the reproach that we suffered for the word of God? Yes, and I hear another fellow say, hallelujah. We have overcome. And we are sitting with him in his throne. As he overcame and he sat down with his father in his throne. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is not by works, my brother, not by feeling how you're feeling today. Yes. Oh, if you go to worry with feeling, there are billions of different negative feelings in the world. You don't know where they come from. I said, cast the old feeling off. The feeling of depression, the feeling of fear. There are great fear today in this nation. Great fear in the world today. But Christians must live above them fears. Yes, you have a pastor here, don't live under fear. I'm not dominated by fear. My brother, I'm not dominated by depressions and suppressions. Yes, I'm not dominated by worries. I don't worry, my brother. I cast all my worries in the hands of Almighty God. Yes, sir. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Who by worrying can change the situation? Yeah. Who by worrying about how short they are could get tall? And who worrying, my brother, of how tall they are could come down to what they are? And if you are worrying about your ugliness, it don't make you pretty. Yes. It makes you more ugly. Yes, sir. It tightens up the muscles in your face. It takes 72 muscles in your face to frown. And 18 muscles to smile. Then I say, smile. Yes. Relax, my brothers and sisters. Yes, the only way you can relax is to have faith in God. I'm believing for my salvation. If I go to hell, I go to hell. I believe for my salvation. That's the thing. I cannot save myself, but I believe I could be saved. Salvation belongeth to the Lord.
Wonderful, brother.
Yes, Brother Branham, see, after I preached the gospel and lived for him, and I come up in the judgment, and the Lord said, William Branham, you are fit for hell. He will just look around and tell the Lord, he said, Lord, you are righteous. Yes, and your judgment is true. Beloved, he was trying to express how you ought to trust the Lord. Even like the Hebrew boys. The Hebrew boys told the king, he said, oh, but God is able to deliver us. He said, but if he does not deliver us, know, O king, that we are not bowing down to your idol. That is true faith. True faith is to trust God's will. Yes, trust God's will. Yes, his will for you. And people are afraid to trust the word that they are hearing for salvation. Now that's a fearful and an unbelieving spirit upon them. Yes, and you have to shake that devil off by faith. Hear the word of God, and the way to do that is plunge yourself in the hand of Almighty God. Lord, I believe the Bible, and I believe I could be saved. Live or die, I am going forward. Yes, the devil come around and say, but you have this fault and have that fault. Yes, that is true. Yes, but the Lord is able to help me through. He could make me an overcomer. Don't doubt it. Don't hide it. Don't cover it. Yes, I have these faults, but the Lord is able to take them away. That is it. Faith is a simple thing. And people, for your salvation, you know, it takes a long time for them to trust the word. Yeah, people sit there with a fearful and unbelieving. They sit down 1 year, 2 years, and they're looking at you through a microscope. Yeah. Now, they cannot say amen to the word of God. They cannot rejoice. Yeah. And they are skeptics of the word. Skeptics of the word of God. They want to know if the Bible is inspired. Yeah. Somebody feeding them some kind of a negative, devilish heresy. Yes. About some nonsensical book that they are reading. About Jesus going to India to get his training under the yogis. It's a lie of the devil. Yes. And then all these things, my brother, they hear from this one and they hear from that one. And when they come face to face with the gospel, they in their mind, well, part of the Bible is not inspired. I say all scripture is inspired. From Genesis to Revelation. Even the comma and the full stop. And Jesus said, not a jot nor a tittle shall pass away until all be fulfilled. I believe the Bible from my brother, the first letter to the last letter. And let me tell you how much I believe the Bible. I believe the cover too. You see this black cover here? I believe that too. Yes, sir. And I believe what is not even in the Bible. And what is yet to come, the seven thunders, we believe that too. Yeah. I say away with your skepticism. Away with your unbelief. This word is true. And every man word a liar. Yes, sir. And people that continue with that is they are fearful and unbelieving people. And be sure that if you don't trust the Bible and the word of God, you don't trust this message of the hour. You will hear some kind of a nonsensical thing somewhere about Branham make a mistake here and Branham made a mistake there and he should not do that and he should not teach that doctrine and he should not do this. I say I believe the whole message of the hour. We are believers. I don't hear the mistakes and the grammar of Brother Branham. I hear the revelation. Yes, he that had an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the church. We are not hearing Branham, we are hearing the Spirit. Yes, sir. The bad grammar fall away, my brothers, and all them other things fall away. I'm hearing the revelation. And the whole revelation of William Branham is there is going to be another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Sir. You must receive the token of perish. Yes, but people are fearful and they are unbelieving. They are skeptics who will sit down there for years. I dealt with many of them. skeptics of the word of God, taking notes, my brother. Notes, they came from the university. Oh, notes, notes. And with all the notes that I receive, they have 1,000 questions when they meet me. They go, what about this? And what about that? And what about that? They wear your ears out. And you know that those people get no revelation. You know their minds are trained up scientifically. Yes, because of their learning. And you don't have to be in university for that. You could have a scientific mind. Yes, and never go to school one day. Yes, and you want to feel, and you want to touch, and you want to handle, and you want to guess at this. And if you don't believe that word of God and the message of the hour, you will be a skeptic all the days of your life. You will be a skeptic. Yes, you will have somebody convince you that the message is not altogether true, that the Bible is not altogether inspired. Let me tell you, if the Bible is not inspired, then we are all lost. I am saying that the only inspired book is the Bible. And any other book that wants to be inspired must be based on the Bible. And that is where William Branham books are based. And that is where EODH are based. It is based on the Word of God. Fearful and unbelieving. Yes. Be assured that if you are a skeptic of the Bible, skeptic of William Branham, skeptic of the Word of God, you'll be a skeptic of your pastor too. And you won't trust your pastor. Yeah, when your children go over and talk to the pastor, what were you speaking? What were you telling him? Yeah. Did he ask you so and so? And you will keep your children away from the pastor because you are a skeptic. And beside that, you are a hypocrite. Yes, what your pastor could be telling your children more than to edify them and encourage them. But if you are a believer, you will be pushing your children to meet the shepherd. Yeah, you will let them take their problems to the shepherd. But if you are a skeptic, what will happen to you is that you will be the pastor. You will be the pastor of your wife, pastor of your children, pastor of somebody in the church. Yes, if you don't want them to go to the pastor, you will be pastoring them. You will break down the real word of God wrong. You will break down the message wrong. You will anoint them with your skepticism. You will anoint them with your unbelief. You will anoint them with your fear. Yes, man or woman that have that attitude, they are the pastor of their children. You will account to God. And when people don't want to come to the shepherd, their lives are nasty. And it's because there is unbelief in that home. And if ever one of the children starts speaking to the pastor, oh yes, that man will walk right up. In other words, talk to my child in front of me. Because you are the overseer. Talk to my child in front of me. I want to hear what he's telling my child. You're a dead hypocrite. You are lost yet. Yes, salvation is on faith. And you don't believe the word. That is why you behave like that with your shepherd. That is why you behave like that with Brother Branham. Yeah, I feel like if you are reading too many of Brother Branham books, you should mix it a little bit. Read some other book somewhere. Look, I don't like the idea when they say that we are right here and everybody is wrong. Let me tell you, if you did not hear it, we are right and everybody is wrong. Because we believe the word of God. And we have the revelation of the message of William Branham. Oh yes. And if you cannot believe that, you're an unbeliever. We are based on the Bible. Yes. And you better know what you are saying when you say that. My brother, we have a revelation of the Bible. We have a revelation of the message of the hour. We have a revelation of the promise of the hour. We believe the word of God. Yes, every organization is wrong. Every denomination is wrong. Everything that does not preach the promise of God for the hour is wrong. Yes, everything that reject William Branham, messages of the devil. Yes. Every tongue that come against Brother Branham and the message of the devil. Yes. It's Lucifer talking. Yes, sir. You see the kind of anointing that flow, brother, in the services? After we cast that unbelief out and dismiss those hypocrites. You see the kind of anointing that flow? The devil come with unbelief to bind the service. We have skeptics sit down there questioning the word of God, questioning the authority of the man of God, questioning the prophet of God to bind the service. You sit down here for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and you are still checking out. There's some unbelieving tongue talking to you somewhere. I am watching one or two things yet. I'm checking out on one or two things yet. You better go to the Catholic Church and check out. And I want to ask you, when you get so smart to check me out, I have all to check you out. And you have nothing to check me out. You're walking in here dumb, deaf, and blind. A sinner. Not even knowing God, nor His word, nor His message. And my preaching opened your eyes. And now your blind eyes, you can peep a little bit. And now you get proud and puffed up. You want to think that you could teach me something. You want to teach the ministry something. Teach William Branham and teach God Himself. You're devil. You are exposed by the word of God. Repent or perish wherever you are. India, China, Philippines, wherever you are, repent or perish. William Branham was right and the whole world was wrong. We believe God. Yes, because people are cowards, they're afraid to believe in another outpouring of the Spirit. And that is why what we have around the world today are a bunch of cowards behind the pulpit. They fear to preach another outpouring of the Spirit. A bunch of unbelievers. They rather say all is over. That's a coward way out. That's a jellyfish way out. That is Pastor Jellyfish talking. Yes. Fearful and unbelieving. But when we can stand up, children, and say there got to be another outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we are going to God's rugged school of training. Yes, and we are becoming heroes of the end time. I'm telling you, we will pass all the heroes of all other ages. We are going to be the greatest heroes of all ages in the end time here. Right here. They say, Brother Bruce, these bunch of cowards you're talking about, yes, sir. That is what God is looking for. He's looking for the weakling. He's looking for cowards to make them something. Yes, if you are a hero, he cannot use you. Because you're too intellectual. Where you're intellectual, you're a giant. Yes, but if you're a coward and you would come to Him and surrender your life to Him and say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Oh, gosh. Lord, look, Esau coming down there. Oh, God, he's coming with a great army. Oh, Lord, save me. If you don't come here today, my brother Esau is going to destroy me, Lord. Oh, my. Lord, do something. Oh, gosh. And he was trembling, brothers and sisters. Yeah, he was so fearful that he started sending the children up in front. And the women up in front. And Jacob was behind. Oh, my. But something happened about 4 o'clock in the morning. A mighty angel came down from heaven. After the 7 days, early in the morning, yes, early in the morning, and he came down in the form of the Son of Man, and he started to fight Jacob. Yes, sir, he fought Jacob. Oh my, he wrestled with Jacob, and Jacob fighting back. Oh yes, he fought my brothers and sisters, and then he grabbed a hold of God, and God could not get away. Oh my. Can you imagine that? Look how God played with his children. I like to read about God.
Yeah.
How the Lord come down and play with his children. Imagine he came down there, God in human flesh came down to fight Jacob, and Jacob grabbed a hold of him and put a scissors clinch in him. And God said, let me go, I can't get away. Hey, hey man, I can't get away, let go God. This God is great. He's wonderful. He said, Jacob, you won't let me go, I'm going to hit you on your hip. Yeah. He gave him a hit on his hip, and Jacob started to walk a kind of a broken leg. Yes. Yes. And he fought God, and the Bible said he overcame. Yes. I was preaching that in Connecticut one time, and there was an old lady, the sister Naomi mother. Oh, an old Pentecostal for a long time. Husband was a preacher and everything. Lovely lady. Oh, she got up after the service. He said, I read my Bible, and I never understood how my man could fight God and win the fight. But I understand today. Because God come down like a man and fought with Jacob as a man. And not as God. God will not give you more than you can bear. But with the temptation thereof, he makes a way of escape. The reason that Jacob won the fight, God never fought Jacob as God. He fought him as a man. And that is why Jacob could have grabbed a hold of him and make God beg. My God. God is a loving God, brother. I'm telling you, he's a loving God. Yes, he comes and have fellowship with his children. Yeah, look at when the thing happened in the Garden of Eden. This thing sounds silly. He is God who knoweth all things, my brother. And he's an infinite God. He's running through the garden. Adam! Adam! Adam, where art thou? Now, don't tell me God never knew where they were. Huh? But my brother is a great big drama playing out. Yeah. And Adam in the bush now inside of, hey, Lord. He says, is there you hiding? The Lord knew that all the time. Yes, and sometime I tell you, the Lord pretend that he don't know about your troubles, huh? And the more you call, is the more he don't answer. He pretend, my brother, that you're not even sick. He pretend that you don't even have any problems. Yes, he's testing and trying you. He want to know how much you love him. He said, but I'm praying so long, but I never got that. Yeah, the Lord hold you a long time. And the Bible said, before you even pray, he knows what you want. Yeah, but he hold back the thing. He wants a fellowship with you. Yeah, he wants you to beg him a little more. He wants you to become a little more sincere. He wants you to come to church a little more. He wants you to say, boy, I have to be listening to a few tapes like the Lord is far from me. Yes, and I better listen to some more tapes. I better draw closer to him. I better fast this week. Yes, and then you get the answer to prayer. Yeah, he did not hear you that last day, you know, brethren. No, he heard you the first day. Before you came there to pray. Yeah, he knew what was in your heart already. But he is a God like that. So with that understanding, pray. Yes, and when you pray, you say, Lord, you tried me. Yes, you tried me. I'm still going to pray. I'm going to ask you every day, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to ask you every day. But I'm going to pray, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, he loves that. He loves that. When we commit ourselves into his hands, he loves that. Now, the fearful, my brother, and the unbelieving, you see, we have this bunch of preachers behind the pulpit today, fearful and unbelieving. They even preach away healing for the people and say that that was in a day gone by. Now, brethren, we have to put away this coward attitude. Rise up with courage and believe for our healing. The Lord is going to create situations where he will force us to believe for our healing and our salvation. Yes, sir. Some is afraid to believe for their healing. I said, believe for your healing. Yes. And brother, some is afraid to believe the Bible. Some is afraid to believe the prophet. Some is afraid to believe the pastor. Some is afraid to believe that God will deliver them from their problem. And some is afraid of their wives. Boy, that's a big fear in this world. You know? That little midget. She ain't no more than 3 feet from the ground. And you hear that woman open up her voice. That big fella, 500 pounds. He shake. Because there was a spirit in that voice. A commanding spirit. And she cried and she said, I said, shut up! Yes, sir. Now there's a spirit that go out. That is not the woman, you know. That's a demon that man bowed down to. And he allowed himself to be afraid of that demon. He rather gave up the rights and gave the woman her way instead, my brother, of putting down his foot and keeping the word of God. Now when a woman is in that shape, she's a Jezebel. And when a man do that, he's an Ahab. Yes, that is the truth. Yes. And many a man, because of their being so coward, and if you hear that kind of carrying on in the house, they say, my wife is a little nervous. You better keep your nervousness down. Yeah. Oh, you know what happened? She's in her menopause these days. So she kicked me under my chin the last time. And all that she had to say was menopause. That became the password, menopause. And she learned that trick too. She'll be kicking you with her 2 foot at the same time after the menopause too. Because you spoiled that woman and you made an excuse for her that she's a little nervous. Brethren, we ought to have patience and love for our wives in that time of life, Brother Branham said. But a woman could use that to take advantage of a man. And you better run that middle end. And with that, you need the help of your pastor. If you try to understand that and govern that, you will go way overboard. Yes. There are women that go through that time of life, brethren, and they are the most saintly, godly woman. And let me tell you something. That time that the prophet's wife got vexed with Brother Branham and slammed the door in his face, she was in her menopause. And the Lord never took that as an excuse. The prophet of God took it all right. And he said, poor little thing, she has to fight with his children. I won't even answer her. I will go outside and wash my car. So he went and washed his car. And he came and said, go tell her to read 2 Chronicles so and so, where Miriam disrespected the prophet. Immediately, Brother Branham went and knocked the door. And he said, read Chronicles so and so. She got a tumor that was bigger like a grapefruit. God never took the menopause for an excuse. Men use that to excuse their wives and let their wives holler them and shake them up. Oh yes, disobey them. Tell them where to go and when to come. That's a fearful spirit. You are fearful that you lose your wife. The fearful and unbelieving is not going to get this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. She's in her menopause, so she could wear a jersey. Yes, and let the jersey tight her up. Yes, and hold her front. Yes, in an ungodly manner. No Christian woman supposed to be attiring herself with jerseys. It hugged them up. And neither none of these tight bodices. Yes. No, none of these garments, my brother. Men garment, this blue-duck material. Yes. Every woman ought to be modestly dressed. That's what the Bible said. why the pastors don't establish holiness and proper dressing, and my brother get rid of the high heel shoes, because they are fearful and unbelieving. I'm telling you that this is a terrible age. This is a terrible age where men are not much men again. And Brother Bob used to say that. He says that if we have a war, we don't have any more men. No, we have a bunch of sissies. Yes. Right in Hartford. Brothers and sisters, big demonstration. They want to marry one another. Gay rights, they are fighting for gay rights to marry one another. So where are you going to get the men? That is why they have to put women soldiers, because they turn out the man. And they have the masculine spirit now, so they recruit them into the army. Huh? Look at that. Look how cheap. They ran 9 miles and they fell down. They did them hospitalized. One dead. They should know very well that they were quarter men. Like Brother Branham talked about the quarter horse. Yeah, quarter men. And I tell you, we live in a terrible age of fearful and unbelieving. Yes, they are afraid of the wife, afraid of the children. They will let that young girl leave the house, my brother, go live in stinking fornication, run around all around the place, and come and knock the door, my brother, in the night, and they open it up and shut them out and send her inside. And you call yourself a Christian, you're a hypocrite, you. Big hypocrite. So now what we are talking about is that we have a bunch of jellyfish believers around the world in the message. Yes, but I have news for you. Brothers and sisters, out of this generation, God is going to bring forth the greatest heroes of the faith. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. A bunch of jellyfish believers here, many cowards, yes, that we have in their natives. Yes, all kinds of things contribute to that. Where people are just covered, the age that we live in. People live in fear. They are nervous wrecks. For us to make ourselves brave and heroes greater than what the Bible spoke about, then that is a miracle in itself. God must intervene. And the only way that could be accomplished is that God must remold our minds. Boy, listen to me. That have people who clap hard, they run 5 miles. And then turn back to see who is that. I'm telling you, that's the age that we are living. Yes. I stop all my grandchildren from playing bandits. That police and bandit thing, my brother, should be out, you know. That little fella, 12 years of age, could go in the back of somebody's house and play a bandit. And because of the fear of people, they could kill him, you know. Because people is living under terrible fear. That police and bandit game ought to be done away with. Yeah? Big men used to play that kind of a game. And play a stranger and play a thief or play a bandit and come behind a man's house. Stop your nonsense. You could get killed stupid. Very stupidly. You could get killed. Because of the fear and the nervous tension that people are in. That if that fella has a gun, he'd put a trigger on you and then ask, who are you? Yes, I'm not joking, Edwin. Stop your children from that kind of a thing. This is not the age for that. That is a long time game. Yeah, we live in perilous times. Fearful times, dreadful times. Yes, sir. So now, my brethren, in order for the Lord to do this, he must remold their minds to produce the greatest heroes. And God has a method to do it. He exposes you to different crises. In small measures. Like I was saying last night, and it's worth repeating. The Lord sometimes let go fearful spirits amongst Christians. And he done that through the message. He is trying to train them for something. Be a time that the Lord will allow a depressive spirit to come near you. And being spiritual, you will feel that it charged the atmosphere. Sometimes you get up and you just fear that something will happen. Something will happen. Something will happen. That's a demon that come around. Sometimes people dwell on that as discernment. Demons many times. People live in fear. They send their children out and they just figure they're going to get into accident. Oh yeah. They send out their wife, husband gone, he'll be killed. Demon putting you in fear. Now you've got to rise out of that. And God has provided a way for you to rise out of that. It is by faith. By hearing the word. By being in the spirit. Now if you don't attend service, you don't listen to tapes, you don't pray home, you are subject to those things. And you want to know why you are depressed, why you are suppressed, why this suicide spirit only telling you, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. Huh? You are not praying enough. The Lord is speaking a certain language to you. Yes. And in the world today, there are a lot of fears. And they said that the solution for fears is to walk through that fear. They call it a phobia. Sometimes people just get fearful about something. They are afraid of a storm, afraid of the road, fear the child, fear this, fear that. Yes? And one psychologist brought up a certain solution, which I partly believe and have experienced. He said, in order for you to overcome that phobia, you have to walk right through it. You've got to make up your mind, live or die, and walk right through it. And when you come out at the next end, you will realize that this thing is not so harmful as I actually imagined. Yes. I was now converted. And you know, living in this country, you hear a lot of ghost stories. Yes. Our parents came from India and Africa, and the rest of them as witches came from Europe. And all that we could have heard about witches and witchcraft and you know what nonsense? And some of our parents was dotish enough to scare their children at midnight. So now we was grown up under that kind of a thing about Sukuya, Laja bless. These demonic spirits, they had these names, Ragahu, Sukuya, Maja bless, Dwen. I'm sure if I ask you if anybody ever heard that, some hand will go out. Let me see. How many ever heard about Maja Bless and Supriya? All right. Those kinds of nonsense we was brought up under. Yes. So I heard a lot of those stories. And to make it worse now, Hollywood starts sending out about Dracula. Yeah. And all of these fearful things. And we were grown up under that. So now, I was grown up, and before I become a Christian, I was held under some of those fears, not many. There were some of those fears. And anytime somebody died there, that spirit is going to catch you, boy. You have to watch out. Yes. And there was an old woman that died from a long distance. There was no homes at all. And I have to pass there about 11, 12 o'clock in the night. And the woman just died too. And no house there, no light, no person there. And I just got baptized. So now every time I hit that spot and I'm coming to that lonely place, I used to get really frightened. My hair used to raise. Yes. Like porcupine. And I shake and shiver. And I'm walking and trying to run. And I'm trying to walk fast. Yes. And one day, something come over me and said, but I am a Christian. And I should not fear nothing like that. Yes, but I was scared to death. Eh? And I'm walking. I'm praying brave now. And I'm walking. And from the time I reached the woman's house, I stood up. Yes, I stood up and stamped my feet. I said, Satan, I don't fear you a bit. I am a Christian. Yes, sir. All the fear went. And I took my time and walked. And I walked every other day without any fear. When I walk through that phobia. And some Christians suffer a phobia
for the promise of God. You have to walk through that fear and believe that there is a promise. Some of you have a phobia for your pastor. You have to walk through that fear and believe that he will lead me to eternal life. Some of you have a phobia to believe William Branham. I say, walk through the phobia. Some of you have a phobia for the Bible. If the Bible is right or not, I say it is right. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Walk through that fear. Listen, accept the message of the hour. The Lord will take care of you. Yes, sir. Well, there was a little dog called a runt. I don't know, some of the dog men here might know better than me. But many litters of dog, most of the time, there is the small, teeny one that is born. And he don't get the milk as he should, because all these big fat face, big mouth dogs will run, and the mother only have so many breasts, and sometimes she make as much as 13, 14, 15. Yes, Micah had a dog that made 13 young ones. Yes. So this little fella have to fight for survival. And every time he run for that breast, you know, the big one will just kind of chew him out or something, or push him around. Yes. And I come to find out that the runt after a while become the baddest dog in the set. So I was asking how. They said, this fella have to fight for survival. And some of us are cowards in our nature, my brother, and we have a humble nature, and we allow the devil to push us around, and people to push us around. Yes, sir. But then, and this little dog here, you know, after a certain time of being beaten, you know, and pushed out and starving, now the starvation will put a fight in him. Yes, and a fight for survival. And that is what you need to do, little runts inside of here. Put a fight inside of you. Put courage in you. I've got to be saved. I've got to receive the token. Yes, I've got to understand the word of God. I've got to receive the token. I must live in the millennium. Yes, and that little dog will build up a courage one day, my brother, and make a fight. Yes, so he beat one of them fellows and take the milk and suck it. Yes. And next fellow come the next day, he beat that next fellow. Next day he beat that next fellow. And many times he cannot fight them, but he's growling. He learned to growl. From a distance. Yes. Brother, and when you take licks from the devil, at least learn to growl. Yes, growl and pray. Yes, go to your prayer closet, growl. Yeah. Yeah, that old devil come to tell you you can't be saved. Yeah, you can't go to church today. You cannot sit in the service today. Yeah. I will take you out of service. You cannot get the Holy Ghost. You cannot get the outpouring. You can't be born again. And you cannot, and you cannot, and you cannot, and you cannot. One day you have to turn around, my brother, and start growling. Yeah, you have to say, live or die. I'm going to get rid of you, Satan. All these negative thoughts is going to go today. Yes, I am mad at you today. If I catch you, Satan, I'll skin you alive. Yes, sir. And you have to build up a courage. Yes, sir. And many times people are pushed around by people. And beloved, one day they get bad. You say, I'm taking none of that again. Yes, I don't want none of that. None of you touch me. None of you tell me nothing. Yes, so you have to behave like that to Satan. Yeah. Taking none of this nonsense again. Want to tell me I'm not a child of God and I cannot do this and I cannot do that? Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That's the attitude. Yes, and we have to get on like that little runt sometime. Yeah, but do not carry too far. People could push you around until you become rebellious. But any striving, you must strive lawfully. You see, people could push you around, and then you get a backbone in your back. You say, nobody push me around again. Yes, I reached to a certain age, nobody pushing me around again. I want to have a mind of my own. I want to serve God, and nobody keep pushing me around. But watch out. You could carry that a little too far, and you could get an arrogant spirit, and you could take it out of the Word, and you could develop a self-will and self-opinion. Although you get that way, bring it back inside and strive lawfully. Do you get the line? Bring it back. Strive lawfully. Although you build up a courage and stamina and boldness, yes, and you come like that little runt, watch what you are doing. Keep it in the Word, otherwise it could cause you to lose your soul. Yes, bring it back. Bring it back in place. Yes, we got to get big sometime, children. And your parents probably press you down. They want to pick the girl for you. You are 20 years, 25 years. From the time you see a girl and you feel like you like her. Father Rasheen, Mother Rasheen, Brother Rasheen, Sister Rasheen. I don't have that girl for you. That's the kind of a people that is in the world. Is not you how to live with that girl. Is that young fella. And as a parent, you ought to give them guidance. But when you want to make their choice, and they start to run down that girl, run down that boy, do this and speak this and run it right through the church, go and collar the girl somewhere, and say, I hear you running down my son. You're fast and out of place. You're rude and out of place. If you have a problem, you need to bring that problem to the shepherd. And don't deal with people that way. Yeah. Run to a girl, run to a boy, and say, I hear you running on my daughter. And then you have a certain opinion of who you want for your daughter. And who you want for your son. Yes, and you might be pushing that and doing the courtship. And many a woman try to do the courtship for their son and for their daughter and get their mouth full up after a certain time. We ought to trust the Lord. Everybody should have a mind of their own where they go to the Lord in prayer. When you are a mother, step in like that, and a father, step in like that and try to over control your children, you pervert them. Yeah, you take away prayer from them, you become their Holy Ghost. You ought to let them go to prayer and encourage them to go before the Lord to get what they want from the Lord. How many believe that's right? All right, we're going to close. Not like last night. Oh my. Now you must try lawfully. Now I read the scripture over in Hebrews, and we will just brief that. But we look at Abraham as a great hero of the faith. But do you know that he allowed one of the greatest acts of cowardice in his life one time? And do you know that he was not always that way? No, but after a while, Abraham became such a great hero. And he was called the father of the faith. And he became such a great man that he took some of his servants and went out and defeated five kings and bring back his brother Lot, who was his nephew. Now, how did that man get that? Compare what he done here. Like, a little famine took place in the promised land that God gave him, and Abraham was such a coward in his nature. Instead of trusting God who sent him on that journey, he left the promised land and went down to Egypt. That man should have never done that, Brother Branham said. He ought to have trusted God. When you leave the promised land, you are backslidden. And he went down there and look at what happened. Look at the great act of cowardness that the man displayed. He was trembling to go amongst the Egyptians. Yes, he says, Sarah, I want you to help me out. What shall I do? He says, you're a pretty woman. You still have one in maybe a whole nation. Now, You'd have maybe one ugly woman in a nation. He said, when the Egyptians see you, they are going to want to kill me as your husband and take you. He said, do me a favor. Tell them that I am your brother. Wishing truth, he was half-sister. But my brother, the consequences of it is the problem. If that is not your husband, he's your sister, then we are free to marry her. That's the consequences that was involved. And the man was about ready to run that risk of prostituting his wife. Excuse me, Daddy Abraham, but I'm trying to bring out this to help the people of God. Yes, he's no longer that. And brothers and sisters, I think the Pharaoh, it was, that seen this beautiful woman and sent forth his servant and said, get the woman for me. Yeah. And bring her. And you know, it was only when God intervened and then Abraham said anything. Yes. Otherwise, that man in his cowardness was going to stomach that thing. That man was going to succumb to that kind of operation. Make people understand. Later on, he might have taken her and run away with her back to the promised land. But friends, he was such a coward that he was willing to prostitute his wife. But look, God sent that man through the rugged school of training in such a manner. He made him wait for that promise for 25 years. Patience with all kinds of hardship and suffering until Abraham became a hero. And the Lord allowed these suffering, these spirits and everything to come around you in order to strengthen you. Believing nothing ain't going wrong. It is the method of the Lord to make you one of the greatest heroes of the age. That is God's method. But sometimes we fight this method. We don't understand. We misunderstand what he's trying to accomplish. Yes, sir. So, that was heading for a great climax in Abraham's life. Little do Abraham understand that there was a great test coming down the road. Great test coming down the road for him. One of the greatest tests that the Lord was going to put him under. And after he got this child, his only child, who all the promises of God was wrapped up in, the Lord said, Abraham! Climax for you. You'll have to prove whether you love God or not. Take this son, thy only begotten son. Take him upon this certain mountain here. And sacrifice him. Make him a burnt offering for me. Brethren, now you just picture the rest. I don't have time. We'll go home 10 o'clock tonight again. But imagine the situation that Abraham was in and Sarah was in. To go and sacrifice his son. Imagine the grief and the sorrow that filled the hearts of these people. And Abraham was obedient because he loved God. And because he was obedient, and because he went through the rugged school of training. And this time, he was not going to behave like he was in Egypt land. Now he's going to behave as a hero of the faith. Amen. Yes, let the musicians get ready to come. And brethren, you think of that journey up that mountain that day. A man had to be built up right. They're traveling a little distance on a little donkey. And he looked upon Isaac's face. The little fellow that he played with. Kiss and hug up. Fish. Hunt with. And he waited for 25 years for him. And looking at that little fellow's face going up that mountain that day. Having in his heart and knowing in his mind, that the Lord asked me to sacrifice this 14, 15-year-old boy. Handsome young fellow that laughing every day. Isaac means laughter. And I have to sacrifice this young fellow. Now, climbing up that mountain was like walking 40 miles. You're talking about a heavy heart. You're talking about temptation of the devil. You're talking about depression. You're talking about, you know, something was prevailing, and that was faith. That is obedience to God. Yes. And look how the Lord tried his children. He went up there and heard a sad question that Isaac will ask. Can you picture Isaac? A young man about 15 years of age and his muscle. Handsome young man, walking upright. You know, jolly and not knowing what is going on. Laughing and talking with daddy. And daddy have to play the game up before he run away. You tell a little brother, come up the hill, let me kill you. You talking about races. And Abraham can't catch him. No, not on 2 feet. Now, let's go up, son. Here's a sad question. Daddy, we have everything in place. We have the bundle of wood. Everything set, but where is the lamb? And here the answer of Abraham, God will provide. God will provide. That is hooked up to Calvary, brethren. That is hooked up to Calvary. God will provide us a lamb. Yes. And then he had to grab a hold of this elephant, and he has to grab him good because he's a strong little bull. And when he reaches up, he's not going to reveal himself. Daddy is going to turn into something like a criminal now. And he said, lie down there, son, take a rest. Because maybe he's not able with him. No? Bind his hand, bind his feet. Daddy, what you doing? Daddy, what you doing? You stay quiet, son. Everything will be all right. Yes. Bind his hand, bind his foot. Have the big wood pyre set there. Take him up somehow. Put him down upon the wood pyre. Yes. When he thinks that he control him. Yes, son. I want to tell you something. God gave you to me. And he told me home to come and make a sacrifice with you. Do you have the heart? It only takes God. It takes God to pass you through the rugged school of training and anoint you and reveal his word to you. By faith, Abraham offered his only begotten son to the Lord. Put him there, my brothers and sisters, and pull the big blade out. Like he will kill an ox or kill a lamb. And pull the blade out. Faith, my brothers and sisters. And he was about to pierce it into Isaac's heart. Now hear the faith of Abraham. Even though I make this sacrifice of Isaac, God is able to raise him from the dead. Now his faith was not in the fact that the Lord will say not to do it, you know. His faith, my brothers and sisters, was in the fact that I will receive him as one from the dead. That even though I kill him, God made the promise that the promise will come through Isaac. When I kill him, he will resurrect again. That's the secret in it. And he take the knife, my brothers and sisters, and was actually going to kill him. He knew that he was going to die. I will make the sacrifice. I already make up my mind. And Abraham crying, my brothers and sisters, and trembling. And Isaac wailing, my brother and bawling, Daddy, what I done? What I done, Daddy? What I done, Dad? Daddy, sorry. Sorry, Daddy. Yeah, I know I misbehaved, Daddy. I shouldn't do that, Daddy. Don't do it, Daddy. And then my brother Abraham raised his knife, my brother, and as he was going to pierce it there, an angel held back his hand.
Hallelujah.
Abraham, Abraham, hurt not the Lord. For now I know that you love me. My beloved, you see why the Lord sent you through trials? To prove your love for him. To prove your love for him. And when Abraham looked around, the prophecy came to pass. And the Lord will provide us a lamb. He looked around, and way over in that wilderness, there was a ram hooked in the thicket by the horn. That was Jesus Christ. Nobody knew where he came from. My brothers and sisters, that was a creative act of God. God will provide us a lamb. And he held the lamb, and in the place of Isaac, he put the lamb there and slay the lamb with the very same knife. That represents Calvary. Jesus went, my brother, upon Calvary, a hill there, and he was crucified for mine and your sin. God provided us a lamb. I will leave the rest for tomorrow on the other little characters and send home these people a little early tonight. May the Lord bless your hearts, brethren in India. You may have to go to work now. You precious brethren over there in GCC and other places, may the Lord bless you. And I want to thank you for suffering with me again tonight. But we enjoy the presence of the Lord. Give us a song there, Michael.
I've gone to my feet and alive onto my God. Thy word is a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, when I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, think I've lost my way, till you are yes, till you are right there. And nothing will I fear, as long as you are near, be near me to the end. Jerusalem, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
When I feel afraid,
when I feel afraid, I've lost my way.
You are there.
You're
right beside me, your Lord. And nothing will I fear.
And nothing will I fear. As long as you are there.
You've
been there. Me to the end. Is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thy word is a lamp.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto
everywhere, Lord. Bless your children, O Lord. Open abroad. Look down upon them. Brother Watson on the field today. Brother Asawadan, Lord. Brother Nissan, Lord. Brother Daniel R. All of our precious brother there in St. Lucia. Lord, the DCC. Bless our brethren. Lord, look down upon them. Give your people tonight traveling mercies. Thank you for your patience, Lord, and your long-suffering in hearing and hearing your word. May the blessings of the Almighty rest and abide upon them, and may they all enter the kingdom of God through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, go with us and be with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. And the congregation say, Amen. The Lord bless your hearts, brethren. I'm dismissing you a little early tonight. So we'll be back tomorrow, the Lord willing. You are dismissed.